This is Children Come First with Dr. Daria Brzezinski. Today we have as our guest the president of Wilkes University, Dr. Chris Breithes. And he is going to be talking to us about many of the things that are happening at Wilkes University. Let's begin by having a brief history of Wilkes University, if you will.
Wilkes University started as Bucknell University Junior College back in 1933 at the depths of the Depression. It was an investment by the people of this area and by Bucknell University in the young people of the area. We went through the war, had the Air Corps training school here for the wartime effort, and when the men and women came back after World War II, we became Wilkes College, a full four-year independent institution, broke with Bucknell at that point. And then in 1990, building on our what had become our graduate tradition, we became Wilkes University within the state, under the guidelines of the state of Pennsylvania. We are a very broad university in terms of our curriculum. We have everything from music and performing arts to engineering. Our strengths right now, probably our greatest strengths, are in the healthcare area with a school of pharmacy that leads to the Doctor of Pharmacy degree. Strong pre-med programs with affiliation agreements with five major medical schools. Very strong nursing program at both the undergraduate and the graduate level. And another major area is education. We not only have an undergraduate degree in education based on disciplinary degrees, but we also have a master's of science in educational technology, in which more than 4,000 teachers in eastern Pennsylvania are our students. At the same time, we also are very strong in technology and communications, with a strong computer science program, a commitment to make sure that every student who graduates from Wilkes is able to use technology in the field of their specialization in the way that technology is being used nationally.
Now, could you tell our audience who may not know, what is the difference between a college and a university, and is there a difference?
There is a difference technically in the state of Pennsylvania. It involves the number of graduate programs you offer that lead to the PhD. And I'm not sure what the number is right now, but in 1990, when we were given university status, it was 6 graduate degrees. We, in fact, had 8 at the time, and we have more now. There are many institutions which meet that criteria which choose to remain colleges in name. But we felt that, given our particular role in northeastern Pennsylvania, it was a more accurate reflection of the breadth and depth of our curriculum to say university rather than college. And interestingly, one of the areas that we found that was in dealing with foreign students who were here to take engineering. They couldn't, their ministries of education in Malaysia could not relate to a school of engineering in a college when they were dealing with places like the University of Texas and the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So part of our reason, maybe more interesting over time as this global village develops, was in response to the perception of us by the Ministry of Education in Malaysia.
That's interesting. Now, you have many colleges and universities within the area here. I mean, there's approximately 5 within a small radius. How do you compete with within this very small community with having students come? How many are your students are local? How many of them, you've told us there are some from abroad. What's your demographics?
Well, there's several questions there, Daria. Demographics, we are roughly 70% of our students come from Pennsylvania, and those, most of them from eastern Pennsylvania. And of those, the greater part from northeastern Pennsylvania. Our next greatest representation comes from southern tier New York, the Binghamton, Elmira area, and western northern New Jersey. We are, with students living off campus, but in apartments, we are roughly
900 of our 1,700 full-time undergraduate students are either living in our dorms or in immediate adjacent apartments. So we really have a culture of close to 1,000 students of the 1,700 living on campus or around campus. Many of those, by the way, come from northeastern Pennsylvania, so they're taking the opportunity of living in one of our dorms or in an apartment while still being fairly close to home. Now, the other question that you asked, remind me.
I asked you about the demographics and yes.
We are both colleagues and competitors. Some of the five colleges you're referring to, in addition to Wilkes University, King's College up the street from us, so we're almost within a stone's throw of each other. College Misericordia, which is in the Dallas area, up the mountain. Luzerne County Community College, which is the largest college in enrollment in all of northeastern Pennsylvania. And Penn State Wilkes-Barre, which is out in Lehman. The three private or independent institutions, Wilkes, King's, and Misericordia, have a agreement so that students on any one of our campuses can take a course, if it's not offered on their own campus, can take it at the other campus with no additional tuition. So and there are several students who are able to pursue a degree program that they would not be able to do on their home campus. They want to stay at that home campus, but they go to the other campus to get the necessary credits. We are meeting actively as a council of presidents to see how we can develop a consortium where the community college and Penn State can be drawn into this mix. Collaboration is the name of the game for the 21st century. We all know that. We all were at a meeting yesterday up at Lackawanna Junior College. That is the institutions of northeastern Pennsylvania, the presidents. To talk about how we can relate to some of the economic development initiatives in this area that are going under the name of the Great Valley Technology Corridor. And we know that we have got to be able to collaborate with each other as the business community seeks to partner with us to assure the kind of workforce that the 21st century requires if we're going to be a go-forward region. And we have all the elements that can make this one of the major growth areas of the metropolitan Northeast. But it won't happen unless we in the educational institutions and our colleagues in K-12 find new ways to work together, to use the technologies that allow much greater interaction of students and faculty and access to resources, libraries, and so on. Unless we can do that, this area could well stagnate to the point that we become a backward area economically. We all know that. Our will is there to make a difference. We will have to overcome powerful forces of cultural conservatism that affect every one of our institutions to do this. But part of my pride in Wilkes University is that from the very beginning, it was an institution dedicated to the needs of this area, almost more than to itself, so that we have been the promoter of change and innovation, often at our own expense, by the way. But I think in the long run, our leadership will continue and will help strengthen all of our institutions to play the kind of role that higher education needs to play in the northeastern Pennsylvania in the future.
You alluded to working with, and what I'd like to talk about is to people to understand the difference between a private university and a public university such as Penn State. Where do you get your funding from? How do funds come into you? And how does the community college play into that?
Pennsylvania is unusual in that over 40% of the Pennsylvania students who go to college in Pennsylvania go to independent colleges, and we use independent as opposed to private. Independent colleges like Wilkes or King's, University of Scranton, and so on. That's the second largest proportion of students going to independent institutions of any of the 50 states. We have two major state systems, Penn State University, which has 20-plus campuses, including the major campus at University Park. And then we have the 14 state universities, which include places like, in this area, Bloomsburg University, Stroudsburg University. Then on top of that, I think the number is 14 community colleges, also publicly funded. The state of Pennsylvania funds all of us to a certain extent. It funds the three that I mentioned last, Penn State, the state university system, or SHEE system, and the community colleges more extensively. But even those institutions are dependent in part on tuition income and fundraising. So that as each of us tries to be a better institution, have better facilities, pay our staff and faculty better, we are under pressure to raise those funds from outside state and federal resources. On the other hand, if you take the approximate cost to send a student through a college in Pennsylvania each year is about $12,000 to mount that education. For the state-funded institutions, they're getting somewhere between $6,000 and $8,000 towards that $12,000. At a place like Wilkes or King's or Misericordia, we're getting about $1,300. We're doing essentially the same job. And I think it, without being critical of anyone, it's the way our system developed. I think over the next 10 years, you will see the policymakers, including the legislature and whoever the people are in the governor's office, struggling to find a more efficient way to support this entire system. This is our system of education. The independent colleges are now putting in close to $600 million of our own resources, that is dollars from tuition, which is our basic source of revenue from our own students, what tuition our students are paying, are putting into financial aid to make it less costly for students to come. A middle-income family can afford to come to an institution even where we have a tuition of $15,000 or $16,000 because we basically provide enough financial aid along with what the students can get from the federal government if they have financial need and from loans. That it brings it down to a level that a family can realistically look at and say, yes, my child can go to that place. But the inequity of that pressure, both inequity on the private institutions to have to provide so much funding out of their own resources to make themselves accessible, and the way the federal funds and the state funds are distributed to students who have exactly the same ambitions and want the same kind of experiences from the colleges, to have it so uneven as between these different parts of the system, I think will force a new look, and it's going to be happening in other states as well. But to answer your question initially, our income primarily comes from tuition. Over 70% of our operating dollars comes from tuition income, and over 85% of our students are in financial aid.
You are listening to Children Come First. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski. We're here today with the president of Wilkes University, Dr. Chris Breithes. And I was thinking about all of the scuttlebutt now with electronic degrees. In other words, what we're calling as distance learning. How are you addressing that issue? Or are you addressing that issue, and have you created something? And is this the college of the college without walls of the future? And you know what's going to happen with Pennsylvania with regard to that? And excuse me, Wilkes University.
Well, that's a huge set of questions, and I must say that more of every day is taken up with that precise set of questions. We at present are involved in the consortium that we call CAPE. I'm not sure I can give you the correct words for that acronym. We helped start it, Wilkes and King's, particularly in this area, University of Scranton. Marywood, Misericordia came in a little bit later. We have joined with the community colleges. We've now joined with the state university system and with many of the school districts in Pennsylvania. So we have a network, and this network is now, I think, able to communicate with the Penn State network so that we have the virtual networking available, or it will be in the very near future, that will allow interaction across K-12 basic education and the colleges and universities for whatever needs to go on, courses, so on. We are offering, this next fall, we will have 10 courses that go out from Wilkes to school districts around Pennsylvania. Only 5 sites at a time can be accommodated by the present system. But we are offering college-level courses, ones that are being taught here at Wilkes, in a classroom with Wilkes students. They are also going out to students in different high schools, Northwest area, Wyoming Valley West. We had a group of students from Indian Valley out by State College that came in last week to visit and meet their professors face-to-face after having seen them only on the television monitor. But given the way the two-way communication works, they can speak from their classroom, both be seen and heard by the students in our classroom here at Wilkes. That's still a small effort on our part, but we are going to increase that effort. We have teachers who are teaching courses on the internet. Some of them are doing it as entrepreneurs. Some of them are doing it as Wilkes courses. I see that growing, so that we will be part of that virtual university. And in some ways competing with the University of Phoenix's, which are primarily the virtual university, taking courses from all over the place and offering them to students. At the same time, you use the word walls. While we're actually working now to teach a course in China, up in Heilongjiang University, we have been teaching some individual courses in Eastern Europe. All that's going to increase. We are going to have students coming to us over the through cyberspace from all over the world, and our students are going to be able to take courses all over the world. I mean, that's clearly right in front of us. At the same time, I think institutions like Wilkes are going to be focusing on the value of coming together in a community of learners, living in dormitories, having late night bowl sessions, getting to know each other socially, getting to know each other's faculty face to face. What that has, and that is the great tradition of liberal arts universities in this country, what that does to shape up and to help an individual mature, I don't think can be accommodated by sitting at home with your computer and just learning knowledge. Now, you can do that, and more people will do that because it will be cheaper, it'll be more efficient. But I think what we will, places like Wilkes will show, is that the value added of coming here for 3, 4, 5 years of socialization, intellectualization, acquiring the tools to be effective as a person, as well as a skilled professional in a particular area, has no substitute for this kind of place. Will not find a substitute over cyberspace. For the adult learner who already has gone through this kind of experience, being able to take another degree because they desperately need a particular methodology or a new field, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to increase the versatility, and we're all going to be more and more lifelong learners. I mean, if we aren't, we literally are going to become, as individuals, dinosaurs.
There was, I was spent time this week at the hearings, last month at the hearings and listening to the colleges and universities talk about the higher number of adults taking courses and wanting to do cyberspace courses, as well as students who are now both working and going to school simultaneously, and that the attraction for most people was the fact that going into cyberspace and doing distance learning programs was half the price of what it was in institutions of higher learning. And with people looking at more and more at finances, how do you sell that idea of coming to an institution and paying that those extra dollars and having that interaction when the what is in vogue at this time is distance learning?
Well, as I suggested, I think you sell it in terms of what are the educational outcomes that come from a student being in a residential college setting with his or her professors, with fellow students, with library resources, with the kind of co-op learning that goes on that allows you to go out into the community as a student from Wilkes University and have supervisors in that site working with your faculty here. All those kinds of things, which are so well proven to create a wonderfully competent and confident adult professional. All those things we're going to have to spell out to people so they know that yes, that costs money. You're not going to get something for nothing. I think we've already suggested in your question, in my earlier response, that the distance learning and the cyberspace courses are going to be particularly useful for place-bound adult learners who already are place-bound because they have children, they're single parent providers, or, as in the case of our distance learning courses, the very bright kids in high school who want to have access to more challenging material than they can get in their high school and who can take courses for credit at much lower costs than they will take at the point that they pay either Wilkes or pay a distance learning provider. They can take those courses and that'll count as college credit, potentially cut off a whole year of college, but still those students are more likely to benefit by going onto a college campus starting as sophomores and being able to have that vital community of learners, which cyberspace can provide up to a point. There can be cross fertilization of ideas. You can develop friendships over the network. That clearly is happening already. But to have the kind of interaction you have sitting around a dorm at night or in our new student union in the cafe at 11 o'clock at night while some people are shooting pool and others are playing ping pong and others are talking about a course they had that day that really was controversial, you're not going to get that. Even in the chat rooms, there's a certain amount of flesh-to-flesh that I think human beings need, and our kinds of places will survive if we demonstrate the value of that kind of learning.
Bravo. Personally, you know, I know my college experience was one of the best, and it had a lot to do with being on campus. Although I was a local, I did stay on campus beginning my sophomore year, and there was a vast difference between commuting from my home and being on campus, a vast difference, and it was a wealth of information that I learned. You're absolutely correct, and I see also a great deal of difficulty with distance learning in the fact that in cyberspace, you don't know who's on the other end if you don't have a camera in front of their faces. So, you know, it could be anyone taking that course, giving credit to someone else or taking an exam for someone else. And so there are a lot of potential problems that are involved with that. So I concur with you, but I also see the point of as having students in college, children in college myself, you know, the opportunity to have less, have them work and have them going to school at night on cyberspace certainly has an added benefit if they don't particularly have a social life or things of that nature. Now, getting back a little bit to something that we talked about earlier, you said that a lot of your population here, about 70%, was from northeastern Pennsylvania. My question is, there, you alluded to the fact that this is a very stable community, which means that people don't move out of town. So when students graduate, what is the potential for job placement here when they graduate from Wilkes University? I mean, do they leave the state and go elsewhere, or do you have any figures on your graduates?
I can't. If you did this interview a year from now, I'm sure we're going to have those figures. So let me give you my impressions. There are a large number of unfilled jobs in this area right now, as there are throughout the heavily populated parts of America, particularly along the sea coast, along through the south, the southwest, up California, where the high-tech industries have really developed. We're not going to fill those jobs for many years. The demand of the transforming economy is going to require people who are skilled in every aspect of the computer technology. Our students from Wilkes who have taken on that technological sophistication can get jobs around here. They also can get jobs elsewhere, and often there will be a premium paid to go down to the Washington, Baltimore area or the greater Philadelphia area or New York City. So that depending on what their objectives are when they graduate, there's a great opportunity that they can leave here. What's impressed me are the number of our students who come from New Jersey and Southern Tier New York who fall in love with this area, who have a co-op experience with one of our local firms or one of our social service agencies, who find a way to stay here, decide they can communicate with their folks back home. They can see them on weekends, but they really like it here. So I think one of the secrets for the skilled labor force for this area in the future are going to be kids that we get from outside the area, including from foreign countries, who decide this is a wonderful place to stay. So I think if we get the partnership between business and education, so that what we offer as educational institutions, K through U, kindergarten through university, is really preparing people for the 21st century workplace, they're going to find jobs here if they want to stay here. Now, I've lived in seven states, Daria, and I've never been at a place that wanted to keep its young here as this area does, probably because it's not been able to, given the collapse of coal and steel and railroads and so forth. I think you have to let your kids get out and fly on their own. What this area has that no other place I've lived is that people, after they've flown around for a while, they want to come back and settle here in huge numbers. I mean, I don't know any other place in the United States this is true of. So I think if we do our job well, business and education together, with government's active involvement, that 20 years from now you will see us as a younger area than most of the United States, where the baby boomers are elderly, and we're going to be young. The rest of America is going to look the way we do now, and we're going to be young. We don't have the baby boomers here in great numbers, so we're not going to have that aging population is not going to be here in the large numbers that the World War II generation is. So we're going to be young. We're going to be well-positioned in terms of the megalopolis. We have huge water supplies, which is going to be the rarest commodity on Earth. We have inexpensive power and the ability to develop power from natural sources right here. And I think we're going to still have a commitment to family and to neighborhood and to community that will be the envy of the country. So if the education community and the business community, as we now are attempting to do, can forge the kind of partnerships and consortia that we all are working on, I think you'll see progress in this area 10 years out that will blow our minds.
You sound like you are so hopeful. I'm really gratified to hear your sense of hope in this area with a lot of the adverse, actually, in talking to many of the constituents in the area and the parents and many of the locals in the community, especially with the high density of senior citizens that are in this area. I mean, you have a great, great population of, and it's throughout the entire state. It's not just this area, but this state is the second oldest in the United States, meaning the number of senior citizens. So it sounds wonderful, and it sounds like a great vision that you have, and it sounds as if what you've done is collaborated the institutions of higher learning here, as well as perhaps the colleges and or the K-12 superintendents and people who are in the community to collaborate on a goal here. And what I'd like to do in this second half hour is to start with your talking about what is your function, you as president of this university, I'm sorry, Wilkes University, what you do, your role in the community. And you must obviously, from everything that you've alluded to, must have a critical role in this community to be able to speak in the kinds of terms that you have. And I've heard things here that I haven't heard before, like the Great Valley Technology Corridor. I want you to explain to our audience what that is, because I've never heard of it myself. So we're going to take a short break here, and we're going to let our sponsors identify themselves. You are listening to Children Come First. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski. You may call us if you'd like, toll free at 877-PRO-KIDS. That's 877-PROKIDS. Or you may email us at PROKIDS@RLC.net. That's PROKIDS@RLC.net. Join us for our second half hour, when we'll be talking about Wilkes University and the things that are happening in this area.